Over the last year, I came across this sefer, Sukkas Shalom, a little kuntos written by Rebbe Guttmacher, published posthumously in the 1880s, I think, which was a kuntos devoted to the topic of what a person can do to create a tikkun for the neshama of a parent. He outlines in the beginning six different steps in level of importance as far as what a person can do to create such a tikkun. Level number one, the lowest level, is to say Kaddish. The Kaddish was made for people who didn't know much more than that. Then you can say Kaddish for parents, and that creates some tikkun for the neshama. Better than saying Kaddish is Daven for an Amud, which the Ramah mentions is a real tikkun for the neshama of a parent. And he says not even can Daven for an Amud. Some people aren't capable of Davening for an Amud. Some people shouldn't be Davening for an Amud because they can't carry a tune, or they don't know Ivra. So you don't have to daven for an amud. Better than daven for an amud is to be mekabel upon yourself some mitzvah, either that the parent had instructed the children to be nizer about, or some mitzvah they'll be mekabel on their own, and dedicate the performance of that mitzvah to the memory of the parent. And he says that you can do if you're a woman also. You can't daven for an amud if you're a woman, but you can do mitzvahs if you're a woman. More important than that, level number four, he says, is limud ha-Torah. Now, limud ha-Torah creates a big tikkun. More than limud haTorah is limud haTorah berabin b'knufya. If you have a group of people that get together and learn b'chabura, and you dedicate that learning li'iloi nishmas, the person you're learning for, the deceased parent, so that's even better. If you have a minyan of people learning together, that's better. And the highest level, the sixth level, he says, is being mechaber the day and the night with limud haTorah, specifically with Mishnayos. That if you daven mincha at the end of the day, and Maariv Bizman, and you learn Mishnayos between mincha and Maariv, so then you're mechaber the day and the night through Talmud Torah, Berabim, which is the best tikkun possible. And then he says you shouldn't think that a dafka has to be between mincha and Maariv at that precise point of the day. The idea of being mechaber the day and the night, but Talmud Torah, is also if you daven Shacharis in the morning, then you learn after that, or you daven Maariv at night, and you learn after that. That's also considered being mechaber the day and the night through tefillah and through Torah, and that's the biggest type of tikkun that's possible. So hopefully the shiur should be together either categories number 5 or number 6 of Talmud Torah v'Rabin, and maybe even Talmud Torah after Maariv, being mechaber the day and the night the Talmud Torah, wherever that works, and it should be a tikkun for the neshama of my mother Yehudis Bas Shlomo. The impetus for the topic of this year tonight is twofold. Number one, this also is functioning as this week's presidential Bikiyas program, Chabura, and we're holding the end of Hazorik. And number two, it was prompted by a question that came my way a little bit before Pesach that I didn't have a chance to really look at until Pesach. Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, with a few details changed to protect the guilty. There was a Bezdim somewhere that was Mesadar Haget for a normal Seder Haget for a man and a woman who were getting divorced. And they wrote, everything seemed to be done properly. And then subsequent to the Seder Haget, sometime later, the Mesadar Gittin discovered that the name of the woman's father, as written in the Get, was in fact not her biological father, but her stepfather, which was a name written in the Ksuba as well. And they had worked off the Ksuba. And they were unaware, the Mesadar Get was unaware, that this is not the biological father, which goes to show you should always be careful writing a ksuba, which we'll get to as well. And then the question was that in this situation, it was impossible to be misadar another get, because in the meantime, the husband went off and was living with a nachris, and he doesn't want to do anything for the benefit of his first wife, because he thinks that she was somewhat involved in getting him implicated in some criminal case, which he landed in jail for at some point in the past. So this is what we call a makom igud. The question was whether this get could be relied upon, b'chi haygavna, and to deal with that, we have to take a few steps back to discuss what emerges from the sugya here in Daf Pei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, starting Ayin Tes Amud Beis, to Pei Amud Aleph, presents a series of different things that possible get, where the result is teitzei mizeh mizeh, kol drachma elu ba, not good. And one of those things is, the Mishnah says that if you're shina shmo v'shma, if you make a mistake, write the incorrect name for the Baal and for the Isha, Shem Ira v'Shem Ira, or the city of the Baal, the city of the Isha, then the consequence is Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh Kol Drachim Ha'elu Ba. What is the case of Shem Ira v'Shem Ira? Says Tosus here, Amri Dahainu Dafka Ir Shadarim Ba, talking about the Ir Hadira, the place of residence of the husband and wife. Al Ir Shinola Ba, the Makom Leida Afilu Shina Kasher, even if you make a mistake in the notation of the Makom Leida, that's still kasher. Kevin Shein Sarach L'Kos V'Klal, because Mikra Din, there's no need to write the Makom HaLeida in a get anyway. But the practice developed that they would write the Makom HaLeida, Mishum Shem Ya'ara She'esh Sham Yosef in Shem Anachir, Yeba Simen Ayde Makom Leida. The Makom Leida serves as an additional simen in the case of Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon Ba'ir. But since it's not required Mikra Din, a Shinoi in something that's not required Mikra Din doesn't passel. So says the Ri. Viteida, another Raya, Ki kama pa'amim kosvim makam haleda al pi habal o isha, that it happens that we will write the makam haleda based on the testimony of the baal, the isha, the parties themselves, without any additional edus. Vim shina pasol lo haya nachan lekosva al pi edim. And if it was the case that a shino would pasol, then it would be inappropriate to rely on their testimony as well. We'd have to at least bring in another single aid to corroborate the makom haleda. And then Tosafot goes on to say as well that you could have a situation, quoting from Ibn Tam, the fact that you have some misinformation in a document, in a shtar, even if that information is incorrect, if it's not critical to the content of the shtar, then you can say that the edim are not chosim in that part of that piece of information. The edim are chosim on the ikar part of the shtar, but the fact that there's some inaccuracy in the shtar doesn't itself pose a problem. This position of the Ri is more or less accepted in Shulchan Aruch, that at least in this case, as we'll see, a shinoi in something which is not critical for the get doesn't passel. There is a dissenting opinion of the Raviyah quoted in the Mordechai in Perek HaShaleach, but that doesn't even make it to Shulchan Aruch. We pass in the Siman Kuf Kavches Seif Beis that a shinoi be makom haleda, for example, doesn't passel a get. What's the reason? So Tosafot here doesn't give you the reason per se, but the Rosh over here in Siman Tes explains. Dafka shina makom hadira hu de'ika chashasha. When it comes to mistake, a discrepancy, inaccuracy in the makom hadira, there you may have a problem. Mishum shu yadu lakol shakol adam nikra al shem makom hadira. So ploni mi makom ploni. Everyone knows where people live. So if you make a mistake in the place that a person lives, then that could be potentially harmful in a get, because that's information that everyone knows about. If you write Pony from Boston and he really is from New York, then they'll think that it's a different person who's Megarish's wife, because they know this fellow as being a New Yorker. People don't always know where people were born. People aren't identified by the Makom HaLeida. So if you have a Shina in Makom HaLeida, given that A, it's not something which is Ma'akiv in the get, and B, it's not a piece of information which is critical to a person's identity, then even if there's a shinoi, it's not going to passel. And our practice is reflected in Shulchan Aruch, based on Truma Sedeshen, is that we don't even write the Makom Hadira, because according to many Rishonim, the Makom Hadira is in Ma'akev, and as the Truma Sedeshen says, we're mitzaltalin, we're all over the place, and it's not always easy to define our Makom Hadira. And if you make a mistake in Makom Hadira, that might be more fatal. So we leave it out, even though there is a position of Yishadon, the Ravid, and perhaps the Rashba, that such a get is possible. Okay. What about writing or omission of the shame of the Habal or of the Ha'isha? So that's not discussed explicitly in the Gemara anywhere. Shame Av, shame Aviyah and discuss us listening to Gemara. What happens if you make a mistake? What happens if you leave out, for starters? What happens if you leave out the name of the father? So we paskin in Simen Kuf Kaf Tes if Tes, like the Shuvas Harash, that if you omit the name of the father of either the Baal HaMegaresh or the Misgareshes, the get is still kosher. Happens to be that the Piskei Tshuva course know the Behuda that it would only be kosher in a situation in which there are other simanim the get. If you write the Makom Hadira, you write the Makom Amida. If you don't have any other simon in the get to identify the person by, so then the Behuda is of the opinion that if you leave out the Shema Av, that would attack a pasul. Could be if you have another. Rabbi Benuitz points out in his Sefer on Gittin that if you have a kinoi for the party, so that's in and of itself a simon, so that would probably be as good for this purpose as writing the Shema Av. Or writing the Shema Av is impossible. Push comes to shove, if there's a situation in which writing the Shema Av is not possible, then even if it's a get ayde shliach, and even if there's no makom amida and there's no makom dira and there's no other simon, we would still write the get as such. We had a case like that this year. But be that as it may, bottom line, 99% of cases, and la halacha probably push comes to shove in every case, if you omit the name of the father of either party, that is kasher, definitely b'di'eved. In certain situations, we may even do that l'chachila. So then it should have emerged that according to Tosis's principle, that any piece of information which is not ma'akiv in the get, doesn't possible if you make a mistake. So then if you made a mistake with the name of the father, then that shouldn't possible. That is the opinion of the Baal Iter, but that's the Shitas Yachad and Rishonim. The way what the Beit Shmuel points out over here, really more or less the Ferish and Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud, is that we assume that a Shinoi B'Shem Ha'av does possible in a get. Even though it is the case that if you leave out the Shema Av entirely, that would be kosher. But if there's a shinoi, there's a mistake in the Shema Av, that will possible. For as the Rush explains in the Tshuva, in Klal Yudzayin Simen Yudbeis, that we're concerned about the Roim, we're concerned about, just as the Rush explained when it comes to Makom Adira, that everyone identifies a person based on their place of residence. So if you write an incorrect place of residence, and people will misidentify the person and think that it was someone else who was Megarish's wife. So by the same token, if you identify someone by another father, people know who your father is, and if you're identified by the name of another father, then they'll think that it was someone else who was Megarish, not the same person that we're talking about, and that's why Ashinu Bishema Av should passel. There's a lengthy Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Kaf Aleph, where he discusses a case where there was an extreme Malkum Igun. Someone had left his wife and ran away, and there was no chance of procuring a get. It happened to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, the way the Shoal and the Yavodah Sagrishuni has it, was mizamein this husband and another upstanding citizen, Lepundak Echa. They happened to be staying in the same inn overnight, and this person convinced the husband to write a get for his wife, so they took care of the get. And the information that they had about the wife's father's name was incorrect. They wrote that her father was Nasan, was Yitzchak, and in fact her father was Nasan. And once the get was written, the husband's gone, there's no way of getting it back, and he's even going to war in the Russian army, and they're choshesh that he might not come back from the war, and might not know if he comes back from the war, and there's no chance of having this taken care of again. So the Tshuva Avodas HaGirshuni, according to the Piskei Tshuva, is a classic makel over here, suggesting that even though we paskin in Shulchan Aruch today is in the case of a mummer who adopts a different name instead of his father's name, which might be an exceptional case, but the pashtus is that in normal circumstances, Ashina B'Shem Avod Pasol, but he thinks that b'makom igun, since in principle it's the same type of case as Tosus's case, where you have something which is not ma'akiv in the get if it's omitted, so a shinu shouldn't possible. And he thinks b'makom igun, you can rely on that. And what's more, he says we paskin in Simen Kuf Kaf Sif Gimel Shulchan Aruch that we rely on the parties themselves, you rely on the Baal, you rely on the Isha to tell us the name of their father. So Tosus is Raya in our Tos here in Daf Pei, that a Shinoi B'makam Leda doesn't possible is the fact that we rely on the Baal to tell us the Makam Leda. Tosus says if we would possible a Shinoi B'makam Leda, then we shouldn't rely on the Baal for that information. So Huadin says, Yavodah Sagershuni, if we rely on the Baal for the information about his father's name, we rely on the Isha for the information about her father's name, then it shouldn't possible B'di'evit if there is a mistake, because otherwise we shouldn't be relying on that Edus. So that's the Avodas HaGirshuni, but the other Achronim that the Piskei Tshuva quotes are opposed to the Avodas HaGirshuni's Kula. The Tzemach Tzedek, the Kadmon, in a Tshuva on this topic, takes issue with the Avodas HaGirshuni, and he thinks that even though the Tshuva Sadeshen does take into consideration the possibility that in a specific case of a Shinoi B'Shema Av, that it would be kasher. Shemes Hedeshin is only talking about a case where the son was machzik himself as being the son of a different father's name. Meaning his father, the Shemes Hedeshin specific case, was where the son knew his father's kinoi, but didn't know what his real name was. So he was machzik himself to be called to the Torah, ben an ikker shame, which was related to that shame kinoi, even though he didn't know for sure that that was the actual name of the father. So there, the Tshuva Sadeshen entertains that maybe it could be Mekel, even though in general we assume that a son can't be Masik a name for his father. But the Tzemach Tzedek says that was only in a very limited case where he actually was Masik himself for Shloshim Yom with that name, which was not the case in the Nas and Yitzchak mix-up. And the Tshuva Sadeshen is talking about a case where it's already Niseis, so he says in Niseis Loteitse. It also wasn't the case in the Nidon of the Avodas HaGirshuni. And his biggest argument is that you can only entertain a kula b'shinoi b'shem ha'av where the get is all done directly, where the husband gives a get directly to his wife. But if it's a case of a get aide shaliach, where the husband appoints a shaliach to deliver the wife in his behalf, so he's being memana the shaliach to say that you should be my shaliach to be megarish plonis bas Yitzchak. So if you tell him to be Megarish Plonis Bas Yitzchak, but the real name is Plonis Bas Nasan, then you're not appointing him to do the right shlichus. So even if you'll entertain that a Shinui B'Shem Av wouldn't pasul, that's only in a case where it's done directly b'nad al yedei shaliach. To that point, there's a Beis Meir, in, quote, Chuvas Rebbe Kiveger, that Simon in the Tshuva Sirvi Kivegar, Simon Kufi Zayin, also referenced in the Piskei Tshuva, says that, no, if you're Megarish Ta'ide Shiliach, but you tell him, take this get and be Megarish my wife, Plonus Bas Plonus, even if you got her name wrong, but you're saying be Megarish my wife, he only has one wife. So even if it's Plonus Bas Yitzchak, who's really Plonus Bas Nasim, you're saying Ishti Plonus Bas Ploni, so that would be sufficient, that may be sufficient as far as that argument goes. But bottom line, the Hachra of most poskim seems to be against the Avodas HaGirshuni. As the Rebbe Kiveger himself says in Simon Kuf Tezayin, that we don't really know that Tosus would argue. We don't know what Tosus's opinion is about whether you could rely on the Baal for the Shem Ha'av. Maybe Tosus, who came up with this argument that by the Shem Ha'ir we rely on the testimony of the Baal, maybe he wouldn't allow you to rely on the testimony of the Baal when it comes to the Shem of the Habal. And what's more, he says, what about the Minagolam? So the Minagolam might be predicated on a two-pronged argument. That as far as the Ne'emanus of the Baal to tell us who his father is, what his father's name is. So for that, we rely on the Baal Iter that a Shinoi doesn't possible. As far as Tosus's argument that we will only accept Eidos from the Baal in something that doesn't possible, so as far as that, to accept Eidos from the Baal, we rely on the Baal Iter that a Shinoi B'Shem Ha'av doesn't possible. But if push comes to shove, and there actually is a Shinoi, so we might assume Lalacha that it does possible. So the poskim where these cases have come up of bona fide Shinoi B'Shem Ha'av, even Malkam Igun have been reluctant to rely on the Avodah Sagershuni. Now, obviously, every case has its own nuances and own possible snifim lahakel as they come up. However, in the case of either a stepfather or an adopted father, where the name of the adopted or stepfather is used in place of the name of the biological father, the poskim who have addressed this question, at least b'di'eved, b'makom igun, tend to be makel with a number of arguments that this situation is better than your classic situation of shinui ha'av. Shinui Shem Ha'av. One of the more significant tshuvas printed on this topic is written by the Aruch HaShulchan in a tshuva to Rabbi Aaron Gordon, Rabbi Zatz's Alta Zeda, who's a Rav in the Lower East Side, he's in Rochester, in the Lower East Side, wrote a number of svarim on Hilchas Gittin, Shemus Begit, and Milchas Aaron, three volumes, and the Evan Meyer on Shemus Begitin, where this tshuva appears, an opponent of the 1907 Lower East Side Erev, as we know. So in this tshuva of the Aruch HaShulchan, dated 1906-1907, the Baron Gordon had asked the Aruch HaShulchan what to do in this situation, where they wrote for a woman that she was Bas Shmuel Leib, and they discovered afterwards that Shmuel Leib was a stepfather, an adoptive father, and her biological father was Leibush. So what do you do in that case? That was the Shaila. Evan Meyer wrote a lengthy tshuva to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan responded in a very brief tshuva, but a very concentrated tshuva, in writing that he finds it difficult to see. And he's on in years, and he can't write barichas, but he writes to the point. This tshuva was reprinted recently in a collection of, someone edited a collection of tshuvas and ksavim, the Aruch HaShulchan, called from different svarim where what published tshuvas in the Aruch HaShulchan. No one knows that the Aruch HaShulchan wrote tshuvas. Someone's mocking all of them, so it's there also. But he makes, the Aruch HaShulchan makes the following arguments to be makel in this case. Number one, that even if the Baal Itris Ashitas Yachid among Rishonim, that a Shina B'Shema Av doesn't pasul, but the Baal Itir was a pretty distinguished member of the Baalei Tosfos, so we could definitely rely on that as a sniff, B'Makom Igun. Right, oh, I forgot to mention that the case here, the Shaila, was a B'Makom Igun, where the husband's gone and not going to be further cooperative, and there's no chance of getting another get. So number one is a sniff, at least, you can rely on the Baal Itir that Shina B'Shema Av never pasuls. Number two, that even if a Shina B'Shem Av passels, the Aruch HaShulchan is of the opinion that only passels midrabbanan, which is the opinion of the Get Pashit, quote on the Piskei Tshuva, against the Bach, but he contends that it only passels midrabbanan, as the Aruch HaShulchan writes in the Aruch HaShulchan of all places, in Simen Kuf Kavtes, Si'if Yud. After all, the Rush told us that the reason Shina B'Shem Av passels is because of Haroim, because people will get the wrong impression that this is not the Megarish that we're talking about. That could only be a Chashash Darabanan, that can't be a Psul Daraisa. What's more, that very point, that the reason we possible B'Shino Shema Av is that it's a Chashash of Haroim, that people are going to get the wrong impression as to what the identity of the Baal is, that's not really so relevant by someone who identifies herself as the daughter of the stepfather, the daughter of this adoptive father. If everyone knows her as a daughter of this stepfather, then no one's going to confuse her as someone else, because they know that they have that relationship, even if they may know that it's not the actual biological father. And then Byron Gordon had another argument that you see that sometimes a step A child can be identified by the name of the stepfather from the Gemara in Tamur. The Gemara in Tamur Daf Tes Zayin, quotes the pasuk in Yeshua that refers to Asniel ben Kenaz, Achi Kalev. Asniel, the son of Kenaz, who was the brother of Asniel, was the brother of Kalev. The Gemara says, I thought that Kalev was the son of Ifuna, not son of Kenaz. Her answer is that Kalev was the biological son of Ifuna. But he was also the stepson. I'm sorry?
Well,
aren't there 2 days in the Gemara there? Aren't there 2 days in the Gemara there? Aren't there two Lashonos? Look again, I thought the Gemara has two Lashonos here. So you see from there that you can identify someone by their non-biological father, as the Navi does, to which Aruch HaShulchan responds that he has a better raya. The Targum and the Pasuk in Pinchas of Serach Bas Asher, the Targum renders Serach Bas Asher as Serach Birsa De'eshes Asher, or Birsa De'eshes Asher Serach, Shem Bas Asher Serach. So Serach is identified as Bas Asher, even though she wasn't biologically Bas Asher, which is a right the Chasam Sofer has in a tshuva as well, in a slightly different context. And Liesser Seithi throws in over here that since the case was that the biological father was Labush, and what they wrote was Shmuel Leib, so Shmuel Leib and Labush at least have one name kind of in common, so it's not as bad. And Liesser says, the Minchas Aaron says, well, how do we even know that she knows the name of her biological father? Isha Bazar Minayin, she never was in Shul, she never heard in Gen Aliyah, so maybe his name is also Labush, as far as we know. Yeah, so the Chasam Sofer quotes that in a tshuva we'll get to in a minute. So with all the snifim together, and you never know how many snifim are necessary alone, but the bottom line with all the snifim together, the Aruch HaShulchan and Beshefa is Nekeler Malkam Egon. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't it be better? It'd be sufficient if you don't have an option, at least for Issa Simen. Ah, so we'll get there. We're not talking about what you should do, we're talking about what was done. At the end, we'll talk about what you should do. Where this was done, how do we react? Yeah, but Kino has to be identified as a Kino. Right?
The Gemara Mavasa talks about using Ben Yaakov for his father's name. The Gemara says, well, maybe he's only using it as a kinoi. The Gemara says, no, you wouldn't use his Ben, right, by Chasimah. He said you wouldn't use his father's name as a kinoi. But the Gemara doesn't say that in the Shtari it would register as a kinoi. The Gemara suggests maybe the name is a kinoi.
But in Gittin, there's a certain convention for how to identify a kinoi, which in certain situations could possibly definitely be Rabbanan. There's a Tshuva Sitz Eliezer in Chelek Dalet Simen Kaf Beis, in which he deals with the same type of Shaila. He's basically just mitzayin the Aruch HaShulchan quoted in the Evan Meir. But in an early part of the Tshuva, dealing more generally with how to identify the children of stepfathers or adoptive fathers, he's mitzayin the Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer in Evan Ezer Simen Ayin Vav, he was dealing with a complicated situation in which there is a family in a community, well integrated, everyone knew them, nice, happy family, and then one day one of the children goes and marries his father's sister, which set off alarms in town. The contention was that this child, even though he had been raised by this father, was actually the biological son of a different father with whom his mother had a previous relationship. But the father raised him as his own, and the stepfather in question raised him as his own, and everyone identified him in town. No one even knew about this the story, and everyone identified him as the son of this alleged stepfather. So the bulk of the tshuva deals with Nemanus in a case like this. How do you believe that that's really the story? But the first point that he addresses is the contention of people in town that Hayitochein, if this is really the not the biological father of this son of this father, that the person would be Ola Latora as Ben this person, he would sign Shtaros as such. So the Nemanus issue is a major issue. This issue the Chasam Sofer isn't so bothered by. He says, no, Kolo Megadol Yosem Zachbezo Kilo Yelodo, and there is precedent, Shema Asher Sarach, there is precedent for identifying yourself, Aliyah Latora and Shtaros, as the son of a stepfather. He quotes a Chuvas Maimini in Mishpatim, Simon Memhei, in where there is such an allowance in Shtaros. The Chasam Sofer himself suggests a distinction in Shtaros. He's not addressing our Shaila directly. He suggests a distinction in shtaros between a situation where the stepfather in question has his own biological sons and where he doesn't. Where he has his own biological sons, then he wouldn't want to be identified as the father of this stepson, because when it comes to Yerusha, he wants his own biological sons to get the Yerusha, and he doesn't want anyone else meddling with that. But if this is his only son, or he doesn't have any biological sons, he only has stepsons, then in that situation, in Hilchos Kol Shemishpat, Hilchos Shtaros, there would be no problem identifying the sons as the sons of this stepfather. About 10 years before the Aruch HaShulchan wrote his tshuva, there's a tshuva written in the Tshuvas Emek Sha'ala, or She'ela, of Rav Mordechai Dov Tversky, who is the son-in-law of the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz. The nidon there was an individual who was Ola LaTorah as the son of his adoptive father, even though everyone in town knew that it was not his biological father. And they wrote his name as such in the ksuba as well, because the father was makbid, the stepfather, the adoptive father, was makbid that the son be identified as his son. So the ksuba is written as such, and now came time for the get, and the shaila was, what do you do in writing the get? So in the course of that tshuva, the Emek She'ela thinks that at least Bidi Eved, he doesn't recommend this L'Chachila, we'll talk about what to do L'Chachila a little bit later, but at least Bidi Eved, he is of the opinion that if you identified the son as the son of this adoptive father, that that would be kosher, again, at least Bidi Eved, because everyone identifies him as such in town, and there would be no chashash of the rush of Mnei Haroim that people would think we're talking about someone else. In Refelder's Nachalas Tzvi, Chelek Aleph, page 34, he adds an additional snif lahakel in these situations, at least where it was done b'di'eved. The Tshuvas HaRadvaz, quoted here in the Pesachei Tshuva, Kuf Kavtes, Seif Katan Kavtalid, thinks that there is a possibility, like that side in the Tshuvas HaDeshen, there is a possibility of being machzik a name for your father. If a son is called by an incorrect name of his father, for Shloshim Yom, he's Ola as such, he calls him Shoros as such. So the Radvaz is of the opinion that that would be sufficient to include that name in a get, even though we don't rely on the Radvaz, generally speaking. But over here, where this individual in question raised this person as his son, so there's more of a tzad to say that you could be maxic the Shem Ha'av as such. And even more so, if we don't know who the biological father was, then that's not even technically speaking a Shina B'Shem Av. Shina B'Shem Av is, we know the father's name and you change it. But if no one knows the father's name, no one knows who the father was, so maybe that's not even a Shina B'Shem Av, and there's more of a reason to allow for writing the name of the Ma'amitz. Rav Moshe also, in a very brief paragraph in Chelek Dalet Simen Kavav Os Beis, notes that in a situation like this, where they just wrote the name of the adoptive father, B'makom Igon, you can be Mako. I noticed today, I was trying to get a hold of this tshuva, I saw a citation in one volume of Shuvas Hadin of a Divrei Malkiel Chelek Vav. All these standard editions of the Divrei Malkiel, there are 5 chalakim. You go to the library, you'll find 5 chalakim of the Divrei Malkiel. If you go to HebrewBooks.org or Osar Chachma or anywhere, you'll find 5 chalakim of the Divrei Malkiel. I didn't know there was such a thing as a 6th chalak. So I called Moshe Shapiro this morning, and he discovered that there was a 6th chalak of the Divrei Malkiel, which is only printed in the 1970 Mosada Rav Kook edition, which is in the possession of only 4 libraries in the United States of America. And one of them is not the Gottesman Library. So unfortunately, I was unable to procure a copy of this tshuva of the Divrei Malkiel today. I also sent out an email to the RCA membership asking if anyone had a copy, but no luck. What the Divrei Malkiel is alleged to have said, as a cite in this article by a Rabbi Gamzu, that's in Gamzu Latover from the Haifa Bezdin, Divrei Malkiel is alleged to say in Simon Mendez of this elusive Chelek Vav that you could be Megel B'Makom Igon where the adoptive father's name is written, where that name is used in documentation and he is legally identified as a son of that adoptive father, which in this Nidon that we started with happened to have been the case. But that sounds a little bit like what the Get Mesuder. Get Mesuder is the Sefer of Record in Shemus Begitin. So Get Mesuder quotes from the Beis Yitzchak and the Ole Shem, the Kisser Shulchan Aruch Sefer on Shemus Begitin, that sometimes if you have a name which exists in documentation, legal documentation, even if it's not in use, so that's Ola Mishikur, that's not considered Nishtaka, so you could, in some situations, write that name in a get. So it sounds like, not having seen it, that this Divrei Malkiel is working with some similar type of notion, that if the name exists in legal documentation, then there's a stronger allowance for using it in these situations. Just to conclude briefly, since we discussed the B'di'evit case, what should be done l'chachila in a situation of an adoptive father or a stepfather? So the pashas should be that if you are aware of the identity of the biological father, then you should write the name of the biological father. If you're not aware of the identity of the biological father, so that should be like an asufi or a shtuki, where you don't write any father's name, which is our general practice at the Beis Din, and the Minchas Yitzchak writes that way as well in Chelek Hei Simen Mem Dalet. However, Rabbi Felder suggests that if you know the name of the biological father, then you write the name of the biological father. But if you do not know the name of the biological father, then you can write the name of the adoptive father or the stepfather even l'chachila, because since the whole reason that you write the father's name anyway is because of a simen, and everyone knows that this is the son of this adoptive, this person identifies himself as the son of this adoptive father, this stepfather, so it's no worse than leaving out the name of the father entirely. If you leave, you could leave out the name of the father, you could write the name of the stepfather, it's no less of a simen than if you leave it out entirely, and it's not inaccurate because he identifies himself as such. Now, I would just add one ha'ara to our practice of writing the name of the biological father where it's known, even if no one identifies himself, this person, as the son of the biological father. The Get Mesuder does write in Shar Beis, Simen Vav, Se'if Yud Beis, that if you have a situation where a person, let's say he changed the name of his father. He was masik himself as being the son of a different name than his father's real name. So even though in that situation, we assume la halacha that a son cannot be masik himself and masik a new name for his father, but where he identifies himself by that father's name and everyone knows him as such, you can't write the real father's name either because no one will know that we're talking about that person. So if you accept that ha'ara of the Get Mesuder, then in a case where we know the biological father's identity, but no one identifies this person as the son of the biological father, so according to the Get Mesuder, you should follow that you should not write the name of the biological father. Maybe you should write nothing. In that Chuvas Emek She'ela that we made reference to earlier, he suggests writing in a case of the stepfather, in his Nidon, he says to write Chaim Demiskeri Chaim Ben Avner. Chaim, who is called Chaim Ben Avner, Avner being the stepfather. Which identifies to us that this isn't a standard biological son, there's something different here. The Minchas Yitzchak, talking about Aksuba, in Chelek Vav Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, suggests something else, even though he says that you should always write the name of the biological father, where there's a chashash sakana is that this person doesn't know that she's adopted, and now suddenly you're going to write the name of the biological father, and who knows what's going to happen. So if there's, Rabbi Willig has a story like that, where the Kalah finds out under the chuppah that she's adopted because at the Kriyas Aksuba they read the name of a different father than her, what she thought her father was. So to avoid a horror story like that, the Minchas Yitzchak acknowledges the possibility of writing Ploni Demiskari Ploni Ben Ploni, or Plonis Demiskaria Plonis Bas Ploni. Rabbi Sandrovic in the Atzei B'Samim, Simen Nun Aleph, is done whether you can use this type of formulation of Demiskari where someone's not Nikra LaTorah as such. If you call him Chaim, Demiskari Chaim and Avner, Chaim who's called Chaim and Avner, so if he's called to the Torah as Chaim and Avner, people actually call him Chaim and Avner. If no one calls him Chaim and Avner, then how can you write Demiskari Chaim and Avner? He points out this Minchas Yitzchak is talking about a woman who presumably is not called to the Torah. So I mean, we have that often enough where we're maxic a, or we're male shame Arisa Mishikua, or we presume that a name is not Nishtaka because the woman gets called up to Elias in her conservative temple or reform temple or whatever it is. Reform, they don't usually call it by name. A conservative, they call it by name, so we'll write her shame Kodesh in a get where she gets called up for an Aliyah in the conservative synagogue, even though she doesn't use that shame Kodesh in any other context. But the Minchas Yitzchak is talking presumably about a woman who doesn't get called up for Elias, and he says you can write Plonis Demiskaria Plonis Bas Ploni. So he seems to be assuming that you can use this notation of Demiskari Ploni Ben Ploni even if he's not called up as an Aliyah, for an Aliyah. But okay. Ramosha has a similar type of formulation that you can write Bas Ploni Shegidlasa Kibita, which is a little bit novel. And the practice of the brother Rav, the previous Av Bezdin of the Bezdin of America, was to write Ploni Hanikra Ben Ploni Hamagadlo. When you to write the name of the adoptive father, Yitzchak Hanikra Ben Yaakov Hamagadlo. So that's not our practice l'chachila these days, but we did have a case this year where someone came in and he absolutely refused to let us write the name of his... He knew that his biological father, but he disliked his biological father. He abandoned him and he didn't have anything good to say about him. And he identified himself as the son of his adoptive father, his stepfather. And he absolutely refused to allow us to write the name of his biological father in the get. So he wrote this formulation of Ploni Anikra Ben Ploni Megala. Why is not Ben Ploni Shegidlani? Because the get is Lashon Habal. I don't have a good answer for, but that was the Brother Rose formulation.